Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's time to open our schools. We give the most comprehensive, fact-based, evidenced argument on why we need to open America's schools today. It is a thorough, thoughtful, and complete argument on why this is the moral fight of our time. I encourage you to send this episode around to your family, to your friends, and even your children as to why we need to open up our schools. I encourage you to send this episode to school board members, to anyone that might err on the side of keeping schools closed or might be shaking on it. This episode can answer their questions. Please consider supporting our podcast by going to charliekirk.com/support. Maybe become a monthly donor, maybe chip in some money. It helps pay for our research team time and costs, travel, and other costs associated with the Charlie Kirk shows. charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. Also, email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And we're going to give out 10 signed copies of The MAGA Doctrine. If you type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review. And please consider getting involved with Turning Point USA. Go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com, the nation's largest conservative student organization on over 2,000 high school and college campuses across the country. Big episode in store, incredibly important. Share it, listen, learn. Buckle up, everybody. It's time to open up our schools. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
What if I told you we are robbing our youth of their most developmental and foundational moment in their life? As you know, there's been an incredible amount of fear-mongering and demagoguing when it comes to the Chinese coronavirus. I'm going to break down some, just to say, hard and fast examples of this later in the show. But nowhere is this felt more acutely or more intensely than for parents with school-aged children. You see, the Chinese coronavirus has flipped nearly every single aspect of our daily life completely upside down, especially for parents, and even more so parents with kids that are in elementary school, middle school, and high school. Before the pandemic, maybe you went into work, maybe an office job, or maybe you worked on a factory floor, and we talk a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show about how jobs with your hands have meaning. Maybe you're a plumber, or an electrician, HVAC. You were able to go to work with a sense of ease that your child was being looked after and being taken care of throughout the day, that your child was safely learning or maybe playing away at his or her own school. But not anymore. You see, one of the biggest tragedies of the last couple months, through all the lockdowns and all the shutdowns, have been the closure of our schools. Parents have now had double the burden of not only trying to continue to put food on the table, but trying to care for, raise, entertain, and otherwise provide for their kids. But think about it this way. If you are a parent that happens to be lucky enough to still have your job and not be one of the 20 million plus Americans out of work that we know of, you are now forced to work from home, likely with a second full-time job, and still babysit your kid or your children. Now, I'm going to talk about one positive that has actually come out of the fact that we have closed these schools, and it's later in the episode. Stay tuned and listen closely, because there's actually a positive from all this, and it's not an intended positive from all these lockdowns and from us closing down schools, but it should be a learning moment and a teaching moment, no pun intended. Now, mind you, many parents have struggled to find activities for their children to do safely, which, by the way, good luck with that. Most of the parks are closed. They even closed the zoos and the museums and the movie theaters. Gavin Newsom, who is a, let's just say, hopeless, authoritarian tyrant thug, just closed down California again. and LA Unified School District, which is one of the largest school districts, if not the largest school district in the entire country, just announced they're going to start the fall semester completely and totally online. They are the second largest school district in the entire country. Second largest. New York City, of course, being the largest. Now, mind you, in California, you have Nancy Pelosi, who justifies the tearing down of statues, who says, oh, well, some people just need to blow off some steam, and some people, they're going to do what they want, basically. Well, as the great Adam Carolla says, can I get that in writing? Because if people are going to do what they want, can I go to the movie theaters and go to the beaches? It's just a fun little side note of the Democrat hypocrisy and double standards. If Democrats did not have double standards, they would not have any standards at all. So what are parents expected to do during working hours with very few extracurricular activities left to them while schools are completely and totally closed? What about poorer families who only have their patios or apartment balconies as outdoor space? Like all ruling class fantasies, like all pipe dreams of the elites, it is the middle class and lower class that are hurt the most by the dreams and the wishes and the utopian master plans of people that have doctorates in infectious diseases, or sometimes they don't even have doctorates in infectious diseases, and they are the ones that are trying to central plan our entire society and culture. This is a microcosm of a macro problem that has happened in our country, where you have elites that are completely insulated from the decisions that they are making to the rest of our country. You see, the Founding Fathers warned us against this. This is why the Founding Fathers argued that Congress shall make no law that does not also apply to the people making those laws. You see, the Founding Fathers anticipated that if we were to create a political class or a ruling class or an economic class that would not have to live under the same sort of sacrifices, the same sort of pain, the same sort of suffering, the same sort of tribulation that public policy would force the citizens to go under, then all of a sudden the people would easily pass rules and decrees that would be very bad for the citizens, but the rulers would be exempt. This is a very medieval, very oligarchic way to view the world. And you could see how the Silicon Valley elites and how Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer, they conveniently pass order after order that they themselves think that they should be exempt from and their family should be exempt from. Look at Governor Gretchen Whitmer, where during the lockdown, her husband tried to take a boat out on a lake in western Michigan and basically gave the boat dock operator, "Don't you know who I am?" despite his wife literally issuing a decree that says, "You can't go take a boat out on a lake." And we talk about this all the time, how the left has this thing called leftist privilege or liberal privilege, because the really rich kids in Beverly Hills, they're getting plenty of premier treatment. They're getting world-class mentorship. They're able to still go on vacations. They're able to go to the wining and dining spots of California or the American West on vacation this summer, where lower income and middle income 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, they've had the sports stolen from them. They have had any sort of gathering stolen from them. And for what? Can kids die from this disease at a very high rate? Can kids infect their parents? We'll get to that in a second. But by the way, as a side note to this, you have Disney, which has become, as we highlighted in a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, where we talk a lot about how Colin Kaepernick has made hating America a cottage industry in our country, where he has made millions of dollars around hating the country, where he's now going to be a millionaire in the country that he hates. I mean, how awful can America be if you can become a multimillionaire bashing on that country? I have a lot of doubts about how awful that country is. To complete the point, you have children watching Disney Plus, the same BLM Inc. propaganda, because they're not able to go out into the parks. They're not able to go play basketball with their friends. And so now you have perfect little incubation sites for left-wing Marxist nonsense when young boys in particular have no space to be able to blow off steam, to be able to go play with their friends. Why? Well, because the virus. We're going to dive into that. We're going to say why that's complete and total rubbish, balderdash, horse-pucky nonsense. And some people say, well, we can do distance learning. Distance learning is a joke. there's been one positive about distance learning. I'm going to get into that. But it's no substitute for in-person learning. It just isn't. This is all upon the backdrop that today's headline out of California that I mentioned earlier should terrify all of us. This is from NBC. Los Angeles and San Diego school districts are going to start their year online as virus cases surge. Los Angeles school superintendent said this, "There's a public health imperative to keep our schools from becoming a petri dish." Now, mind you, Orange County, from a vote of 4-1 from the Orange County Board of Education, they are opening schools with no masks this fall. Good for you, Orange County. Maybe Orange County is actually more culturally conservative than people realize. And maybe the Republicans that are trying to win back the seats in Orange County, so just so you understand, Orange County is the area of Irvine, Santa Ana, Laguna Beach, Newport Beach, that beautiful part of America. There are five congressional districts in Orange County. All five of them are now Democrat. And I think that Republicans are going to win back a couple of them. And Orange County has now decided that they are going to reopen schools, no masks, 4-1. And a lot of it was because of vote harvesting. A lot of the reason why Democrats won those seats is because vote by mail and vote harvesting. That's a different podcast for a different time. We will get into it. Now, mind you, in the joint announcement, the school districts, Los Angeles and San Diego, said the research around coronavirus era school safety remains incomplete and that many of the public guidelines are vague and contradictory. However, the school districts added, one fact is clear. Those countries that have managed to safely reopen schools have done so with declining infection rates and on-demand testing available. California has neither. The skyrocketing infection rates of the past few weeks have made it clear the pandemic is not under control. So first of all, this is totally rubbish and incorrect on two counts. America has one of the lowest mortality rates in the entire world. That's right. America, for being blamed for every single problem in the history of the world, for now having protests in the streets, having arsonists be able to burn down entire city blocks and get away with it. With all that being said, you complete the circle. America still, despite being so criticized and ridiculed and our healthcare system being ridiculed, we have one of the lowest mortality rates in the entire world. We test more people per capita than almost any other country. Some say we have more than any other country. Statista has us at number 5 in the world testing, over 128,000 per million people, ahead of countries like Belgium, Germany, Canada, Italy, and other countries, etc. New York City, which is home to the largest school district in the nation, has opted for a partial reopening with classroom attendance limited to 1 to 3 days a week. Chicago, the third largest, has yet to announce a roadmap. I'm sure they'll follow whatever is the least logical path forward. You can bet dime on a dollar. You can go all in that the Chicago Teacher Union will do whatever is worst for the kids. Whatever is the worst possible output for black children, that is what the Chicago Teacher Union will do. If you want to talk about how black kids are going to fail, whatever they find that they, on a stat sheet that it is the worst for kids, but the best for the cartel that runs the teacher unions in Chicago, that's the decision that the CTU is going to use, Chicago Teachers Union. Now, mind you, President Trump is totally fighting back against this. This is a winning issue. President Trump should go double and triple down on this issue. The more he talks about it, the better. He's calling on America to fully open schools this fall. Play tape.
We hope that most schools are going to be open. We don't want people to make political statements or do it for political reasons. They think it's going to be good for them politically, so they keep the schools closed. No way. So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools, to get them open. And it's very important. It's very important for our country. It's very important for the well-being of the student and the parents. So we're going to be putting a lot of pressure on open your schools in the fall.
President Trump even threatened to remove federal funds from school districts that don't open back up. Now, it's not that he can do this unilaterally, but the federal government provided 8.3% of funding for public elementary and secondary schools in 2015-2016, the last year for which a detailed funding breakdown was available. By the way, thank you for those of you that support us monthly on charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Thank you for supporting us and chipping in. I encourage you to do that and help us continue to keep our show self-sufficient because our research team did hours and hours of research and the latest available research that we could find was from 2015-2016. Do you think our federal government is broken if we're not even able to find reliable data of how much the federal government is funding public education. So the last we were able to find it was 4 years ago. That's a side point, but a very important point. President Trump could likely restrict recent pandemic relief funding or refuse to sign future education grants and bailouts. The head of the Department of Education, Secretary Betsy DeVos, during an interview on Fox News Sunday, emphasized students must return to their classrooms. Kids have got to get back to school, she said. Kids cannot afford to not continue learning. DeVos said it's not a matter of if this happens, it's a matter of how. Good for her. Betsy DeVos is a friend. Betsy DeVos deserves credit for this. This is a tough stand. This is one that takes a backbone and a spine. And we on the Charlie Kirk Show, we call balls and strikes of people in the entire conservative movement that do have backbones and don't have backbones. And we called out a certain senator from Indiana when he decided to say nice things about BLM Inc. We gave him a very, let's just say, harsh cross-examination. Betsy DeVos, good for you. You deserve full credit for this, because this is not easy. You are getting protested. You are getting picketed. You're probably going to get called in front of Congress for this. So we have your back. Good for you. In a separate CNN interview, Betsy DeVos cited information from the YMCA that showed low rates of viral spread among children who attended childcare facilities. Quote, there's going to be the exception to the rule, but the rule should be that kids go back to school this fall. Where there are little flare-ups or hotspots that can be dealt with on a school-by-school or case-by-case basis, there's ample opportunity to have kids in school, Secretary DeVos said. Seems reasonable, right? Well, think again. Far-left activist turned Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley took a fact-free, ridiculously radical ideological approach to criticizing Secretary DeVos. Now, if Ayanna Pressley is taking a harsh stand on something, it's pretty, you can be pretty confident it is rooted in foolishness. Whatever hard stand Ayanna Pressley is taking, probably going to be wrong. It's not a perfect rule. It's not arithmetic. It's not a law of physics, but it's a general guiding principle. Let's put it that way. Here's what Ayanna Pressley said, who's the Marxist from Boston. Betsy DeVos, you have no plan. Teachers, kids, and parents are fearing for their lives. You point to a private sector that has put profits over people and claim the lives of thousands of essential workers. I wouldn't trust you to care for a houseplant, let alone my child. So just to make sure you caught that, no facts at all. I wouldn't expect any facts from Ayanna Pressley. She's not a fact-based person. She's an emotive, pathological Marxist, a postmodern activist from Boston, former city council member who is part of the squad, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the squad who hates America and wants to see America fail. Now, mind you, Ayanna Pressley, she puts out this tweet similar to Senator Tammy Duckworth, who we, I think, adequately deconstructed in a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, where Senator Tammy Duckworth and Ayanna Pressley, they have these witty tweets where they think they're going to make it go viral and they're going to get the headlines on Huffington Post and BuzzFeed. Ayanna Pressley slams down Betsy DeVos. And they basically just do arguments from authority with no basis in evidence, facts, history, logic, or critical thinking. Pure and total emotion. Rooted in personal insults, by the way. It's almost like they're trained Marxists. Well, I mean, community organizers or whatever they are, because they actually are trained Marxists. But of course, those of you that listen closely to the Charlie Kirk Show, you now know how the left operates. And if you're looking of how to spend some meaningful time, I encourage you to go back in the archives. I've been getting some amazing emails on freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. One thing that we do here on the Charlie Kirk Show is we study the American left, something that most establishment Republicans have not done because they've never fought the left like I have. They have not received death threats from Antifa like I have. They have not been stormed out of restaurants like I have from Antifa. They don't have to walk onto college campuses with armed security. In fact, some members of Congress that are Republicans would go on a college campus and no one would recognize them if they were to be given $1 million. And that's not an insult towards them. It's not a life that they live. And so a lot of you, thank you for meticulously and for seriously listening to this, because you now know how all this works. You know how the left operates. You know what drives them. You know the philosophy. We're only beginning on this journey together to dive deep into the mind and into the worldview of the American left. As dark as that might be, the more you understand the left, the more you're going to be able to counter it, the more you'll be able to spot what they're doing incorrectly in our country, the more you're going to be able to predict what they're doing next, and most importantly, the more confident you'll be in your worldview grounded in conservatism, Christian, Western ideas. So now you know how this works. If the president or the administration advocates for kids going back to school, now that means it's somehow controversial. That's how things work now in 2020. But here's the truth. Polls show that parents want their students back in school. So a recent Gallup poll shows that 56% of a 1,200 parent survey supports a full return to school. 37% want some remote learning and some part-time instruction, and 7% wants different options. And the 37% said they would prefer a hybrid program where students attend in-person classes on a part-time basis and make up the rest with distance learning, which I think is a fair approach in certain areas if that happens to be the absolute compromise. But just shutting down schools like Los Angeles and San Diego are deciding to do right now is anti-science, and it's anti-children, anti-parent, anti-family. Yet this is the option that California is going for. So while real Americans and the president are courageously calling for sanity to return and for kids to go back to school so parents can work and help this country recover from the damage that has been done because of these draconian, backwards, and honestly regrettable lockdowns, who is opposed to this common sense? Well, the answer is the teacher unions. At least one chapter of the American Federation of Teachers is even planning on going on strike if they have to go back to school. I will say this every time we talk about education. Public sector teacher unions have done incalculable damage to the United States of America. Public sector teacher unions do not care about the education of our kids. They do not care about black kids not being able to read in the inner cities. They don't care about white kids not being able to read in Appalachia. All public sector teacher unions care about is the cartel bosses that prey on the hearts of the voters and prey on the best intentions of local communities. They don't even care about teachers. They don't. They say they do, but they don't want good teachers to be paid more, and they don't want bad teachers to be fired. Many of these teacher unions do not care about the science or the data. They do not want accountability. They just want more money. If you understand how the Sinaloa cartel works in Mexico, if you understood how the Gambino crime family works, if you've seen Sopranos before, then you understand how this public sector teacher unions work. It is no different than a mob infrastructure because it was set up by the mob back in the 60s and 70s. Public sector teacher unions and public sector unions were set up by the mob. The entire model is about trying to exploit the citizenry at all costs and make people pay mandatory dues to advance their left-wing Democrat agenda. Now, thankfully, Supreme Court Justice Kennedy, before he exited and was replaced by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and even John Roberts ruled correctly on this decision a year and a half ago, was the Janus decision. The Janus decision now allows teachers to no longer pay mandatory teacher union dues. The teacher unions still have a huge amount of power in the LA Unified School District and in New York City. More on this later, and they always want more money. Always. Now look, we just mentioned San Diego and LA, but as another example, Miami-Dade County said they will not open their school system at the end of August either, their school superintendent said. Completely anti-science. This is going to put a disproportionate amount of burden on parents, on families, and on workers. So most schools, like those in New York City, will attempt to open with a very bizarre and unproven and risky mix of distance learning or highly limited in-class learning, which, again, I'm not a huge fan of. If that's what you have to do, I guess, but no, just fully open the schools. Fully open them. Don't compromise. No more kowtowing to the left. So all of these plans allegedly include masks, limited class sizes, no sports, scheduled bathroom breaks, and more of the obnoxious, highly destructive, arbitrary central planning protocols that do little good to limit or slow, or they say stop, the spread of the virus, and an incredible amount of psychological, social, spiritual, and economic damage to our children, to our schools, and to our beautiful country. Now, the unions say it's all in the best interest in the health of our students. Let's tell you why that is rubbish. And before I go any further, I encourage you to send this podcast to 10 parents. please send this particular podcast that we are doing to 10 parents that you know. Maybe it's parents that think that schools should be closed. And maybe even tell them to fast forward to this point in the program, because we are going to go piece by piece as to why schools should completely open. It is absolute balderdash. So here's a few reasons why. The LA Unified School Districts conducted a poll of teachers engaged in distance learning and found that one-third of students never logged in at all. That's right, one-third of students never logged in at all. Not very surprising. Two-thirds of teachers said students were less likely to complete assignments with distance learning. And of course, we know that is the case. Two-thirds. Also, students who participate in distance learning retain far less learning over summer break than students who learn in a classroom, and students who are already losing a tremendous amount of learning over the summer. But this is about much more than just learning, although that should be enough. Being present in a classroom is how many children who are being abused at home or neglected in some other way are identified and provided with help. You see, the left doesn't care about children. Nancy Pelosi always say, we care about children. The teacher unions say it's all about the children. Then respond with this. According to Health and Human Services, HHS, one-fifth of all child abuse cases are cases that are reported by teachers and educational staff. That's 20%. So right now, 20% of child abuse victims are going undetected. So children are being abused right now. As I record this podcast, a child is being abused by a parent or by a family member that could have been detected if schools were open. But the teacher unions, who all they care about is money, all they care about is time off, they're fine with children being abused and not being detected. In Washington, D.C., family child agencies are reporting about a 62% decrease in abuse cases being reported. So do you think that people are all of a sudden behaving wonderfully better? We see crime going up in every other single vertical across the country, but abuses are going down. What does that mean? It means reporting is going down. They're not getting reported. Kids are still getting abused. So believe it or not, kids going to school and a teacher being able to look a kid in the eye and maybe seeing a black and blue eye and seeing bruises on their knees and on their legs, and all of a sudden they're able to call the police and the Department of Child Family Services, and maybe that kid will no longer be abused because they're going to school. But in Los Angeles, in San Diego, that's not happening. I want you to think right now of the 11-year-old in Los Angeles that's being abused by a father or by an uncle that they're forced to live with, and they're praying that schools will open, because when schools open, they know they can get help and they might be able to escape that environment. That's not going to happen this fall. You will have generational abuse of children that will go undetected, unnoticed, and quite honestly will not be fixed or addressed because the teacher unions are using a nationwide virus as an excuse to not open schools. The American Academy of Pediatrics say that 70 to 80% of children with mental health receive their care at school. Almost one-third of parents say their children's emotional and mental health is suffering. Another third worry that it will start hurting their children soon. So here's the kicker about the virus. For children, the Chinese coronavirus is far less deadly than the seasonal flu. 99% of people who get infected, says the Hoover Institution's Dr. Scott Atlas, have no significant problem with the infection. And who are most of those people? Children. Children under 18 make up 5.9% of United States cases, and children under 14 make up just 0.03% of cases. The risk to children from the Chinese coronavirus is just a fraction of the risk from the flu every single year. No one ever talked about closing schools for the flu. Tucker Carlson made the great point that if the pandemic and lockdown led to just a 1% increase in teen suicides, which we have every reason to believe that they have, and by the way, if you can find reliable teenage suicide data, please email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Our incredible research team, they spent hours trying to find reliable suicide data, and the search engines, Google and every other, they're hiding it. You cannot find it right now. They are suppressing suicide data intentionally right now. You cannot find reliable suicide data. And I encourage those of you that might be looking for some answers and some more depth on the mental health issue, please check out our Friday episode, The Human Cost of Cancel Culture. And so if we even had a 1% increase in teen suicides, to close the point, it will constitute a higher death toll than all coronavirus deaths among high schoolers nationwide overall. Mind you, children generally, almost all the data points to this, do not spread the virus to adults. So here's a big lie alert. A lot of the people on TV are saying, well, children can be little virus reactors and spread it to their parents. The data actually shows, according to a Swiss study, that found that viral loads spread by children with coronavirus were not enough to infect the people around them. They're much more likely to get the disease from their parents. Countries that follow science and the data have already opened their schools. Now, in other words, those countries that don't have an election where they're trying to elect anyone other than President Donald Trump, they're acting logically. If it was President Hillary Clinton, we would have baseball, sports, NFL, NBA, schools would be open, and we would have just scoffed off this pandemic, and Hillary Clinton would have said, well, all those people dying are deplorables anyway, and I don't care about them. And I wouldn't support that strategy either. I'm not saying that people that are at risk should not be protected and sheltered in place. What I am saying is that people who are not at risk should be allowed to go back to their life. In Germany, four major medical associations endorsed reopening schools in person. And this was in May, a full 2 months ago. This was without the additional restrictions. Australia Deputy Chief Medical Officer, they wrote an open letter saying that as an infection disease expert, the Chinese coronavirus is far less impactful to children than the flu, both in terms of health impacts and the spread. He said that the data did not support closing schools. Sweden never closed their schools. Austria, Norway, and Singapore, Denmark, all have their schools open. And infection rates have not increased. They've declined because they're probably getting herd immunity. In Switzerland, the country's head of infectious diseases says, quote, scientists now know young children do not transmit the virus. Experts at the Toronto Children's Hospital called for opening schools with no restrictions. Masks, they say, if worn incorrectly, could actually lead to increased risk because of the infection. Now, a study out of Germany has become one of the first to examine the Chinese coronavirus transmission in schools. This is a very important point, so take notes and send this to any one of your friends that might say, we have to close down schools and schools have to stay closed. This study, which was done by the University of Dresden, tested more than 2,000 school children and teachers for the antibodies since the reopening of schools in Germany in the spring. The study found no evidence of widespread virus transmission. Let me say that again for emphasis of the point. The school found no evidence of widespread virus transmission. Antibodies were detected in only 12 of the 2,045 people examined. That's not much more than at the beginning of the pandemic in March, meaning that very few school children caught the Chinese coronavirus. Instead of fears that school had become hotspots for transmission, Richard Berner, who's the director of the Polyclinic for Children and Adolescent Medicine at the Dresden University Hospital, said it's actually the opposite. Children act more like a brake on the infection. Not every other infection that reaches them is passed on. I mean, we did beat the Germans in World War II, but they're beating us in the war against the Chinese coronavirus because they're actually thinking logically right now. And what does Randy Weingarten, who is a corrupt cartel-running thug of the American Federation of Teachers, I want to be very clear. I am pro-teacher. I love teachers. I think teachers are modern-day heroes. I think teachers should be paid more money, and I think bad teachers should be fired. When I rail against the public sector teacher unions, it's like, here's the equivalent. I love people that legally immigrate from Mexico. I hate the cartels in Mexico. Big difference. I am separating the cartel of the teachers from the teachers. And what do they have to say about this? Well, if you were thinking she wants more money, you're exactly right. She said there's no way school across the country could reopen this fall because of a lack of federal funding. This is such nonsense. Weingarten said this, there's no way that you're going to have full-time schools for all the kids and all the teachers the way we used to have it. Which she told actually a friend of mine, John Katzmatidis, great guy in AM 770, WABC radio show on Sunday. Once we have a vaccine, I hope we can get back to that. Well, basically what she means is once Trump is no longer in office, Right now, there is a diabolical campaign to inflict as much pain on the psyche, the culture, the spirit, and the ethos in America, and schools are a huge part of that. Schools are a massive part of that. Randy Weingarten continued by saying, and in doing this, not only is there a need for retrofitting for ventilation systems, but also for buying the masks, for the cleaning equipment, for the nurses that we're going to need. That's why we've been pushing really hard to get federal money to the states that need to reopen their schools. Now, mind you, the School Superintendent Association has estimated it would cost an average of $1.8 million per school district to adhere to guidelines sent by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to reopen this fall. This is the same woman who is asking, and she's really demanding and extorting, that businesses change their schedule and work requirements to match what her and her thugs that run the teacher unions are requiring from students. If you feel like this is all like so illogical, well, it is. Now, these unions, they really have the gall to say that there's no evidence that kids are at higher risk or dying from this virus, from the common flu. And yet more students will be abused, neglected, and suffer mental disorders that go untreated and undetected. And still others will commit suicide. And we're not going into work. And yes, you still have to pay us. And yes, you still have to make your employees change all their plans around us. And oh yes, give us more money. And in a future episode, I will go more into the school funding structure. I have some amazing research on that and how school funding is not an issue, about how we actually overfund a lot of our schools and underfund some schools that perform super well. I went into this about a week ago. You can go back in the archives of The Charlie Kirk Show. I highly encourage you to do that. Now, mind you, this is almost all a problem caused by the propagandist activist media, and they are pushing forth a massive fear-mongering campaign on the American people. Now, this is a common joke on social media, is that race riots and the pandemic will likely calm down right around November. No, the media is extorting the public. We've talked about this at length on our program before. Basically, they're saying without saying it, vote for Joe Biden and we'll give you all the peace and normalcy back. They have taken America hostage, okay? Now, you know that in any hostage situation, you do not negotiate with the terrorists. You don't. I encourage you to watch any movie, any film where there is a hostage situation at play, and you can see very clearly that, and you can look historically and not just in cinema, in hostage situations, you have to teach the terrorists that you are stronger than the terrorists. Now, I'm not calling the Democrat Party terrorist. I'm not saying that for Media Matters, but they are taking America hostage. They just are. There is no reason to continue to shut down America's schools. There isn't. There is no reason to continue to keep our places of learning totally and completely shuttered. There isn't. So let's take two articles from Monday and break them down for you to explain exactly what I mean. One is from CNN, which is a total dumpster fire, and chief propagandist, by the way, which has the headline, Pediatrician, the truth about reopening schools during the Chinese coronavirus. The other, from the Washington Examiner, has the headline that says, absolutely reopen schools. 5 out of 5 pediatricians would send their kids back to class. So let's start with CNN. I'll break this down by pulling a few key lines of their writer's logic. It starts with, we all know that schools play a central and crucial role in the lives of their children, but President Donald Trump, without clear plans to contain the coronavirus in communities where it is currently surging. Well, first of all, he does have a plan. Let's just look at Germany, Denmark, Australia, Sweden. They've done a terrific job. Open schools, no restrictions, no masks, no scheduled bathroom breaks, just open schools. It continues, quote, this move would be detrimental to children, their parents, and teachers, adding more fear and confusion during a time that already is chaotic. No. Causing working parents to do the job where paying teachers have to do? No, they're paying their taxes for the teachers. Have the teachers do their job. So I'm going to say one positive thing that's come out of all this. The one positive of this distance learning, and we are seeing your emails on freedom@charliekirk.com, is for the first time, parents are actually seeing the nonsense and the garbage and the propaganda that these teachers have been teaching these kids. For a long time, these parents, many of them have been uninvolved in their children's learning. They've been uninvolved in their kids' homework and assignments and what they're actually being taught every single day. Now, parents are actually waking up to the anti-American indoctrination that is happening in our schools. I think it's one positive of this distance learning. I hope it's a wake-up call and a movement for homeschooling, private schooling, or getting more involved in your children's schooling. For example, many kids are being taught white fragility. It's becoming staple and mandatory curriculum all across the country. We're not going to have a country anymore if this curriculum is continued to be propagandized to future generations. So the article continues by saying, as communities, we must ensure that all schools, not only those in wealthier districts, have the resources to safely reopen this fall. A failure to do so would further exacerbate disparities in education and would leave children in already vulnerable communities further behind their peers. Again, the president is calling for all schools to open, not poor schools, not rich schools. This is a traditional left-wing straw man argument. Also, it's just so typical for a CNN writer to make this about class and pitting Americans against each other. It's truly despicable. Science and facts, and not fear or threats, must guide our choices. That's exactly my point. So here's where the CNN article goes completely off the rails. She says this, Edith Bracco Sanchez, who happens to be a pediatrician, a foolish one at that. Children simply don't exist in a vacuum. They need parents to drop them off and pick them up, teachers to teach them, and babysitters, sometimes grandparents to help. The list goes on. The risk of acquiring the Chinese coronavirus, she doesn't say that, I say it, she says COVID-19, for adults seem to be greater from other parents than it is for other children. It is unfair to ask parents to send their kids to school and to ask teachers, many of whom who have their own families, to show up to teach them while a virus continues to surge in communities around the country. If we are serious about reopening schools everywhere, so we must be serious about containing the virus first. So let's just get this straight. Even though kids don't spread the virus, simply asking parents to drop off their kids at school where there might be other adults could spread the virus constitutes a large threat to keep schools closed. I mean, under that logic, grocery stores should be closed. Under that logic, we should not have gas stations open. Why don't we close down Home Depots, liquor stores, pot dispensaries? How about strip clubs in Long Island while churches are being closed by force? And I said this on Twitter, I am prepared to get arrested. I want one of these governors to arrest me because I am not going to comply by any of these centralized planning, anti-science ordinances that say that I have to stay at home, that say that I can't do a gathering. I had 3,300 students at an event for President Trump in Phoenix, Arizona. And interestingly enough, the media hasn't followed up about how that caused a major outbreak. Really interesting, isn't it? I'm not going to say that there wasn't anyone who possibly got something there. I'm not going to be as bold to say that. But you can live your life again. In fact, I encourage you to live your life again. And these authoritarian, tyrant governors in both parties that are trying to micromanage and centrally plan our country into the dustbin of history must be stopped by all of us. And CNN, we know they're a dumpster fire. They are platforming this nonsense, and their entire modus operandi, they wake up in every single article. Their true north, if you go to CNN.com, I encourage you to do this once and only once. Every single article on the New York Times website and CNN.com points to the North Star of defeating Donald Trump. There's not a singular piece of writing, except maybe an opinion piece every so often. There's not a singular piece that does not point to their daily mission, to defeat President Trump. It is their sworn and committed oath at CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post. And once you understand that, that should allow you with more clarity to see exactly why they interpret the news the way that they do. And so then the other article that I want to address from the Washington Examiner, it's like it's truly the tale of two Americas, which is a thesis we talk about a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show about how we live in two Americas. Absolutely, the article says. Reopen schools. 5 out of 5 pediatricians would send their kids back to class. Now realize, this was actually an NBC News report where Dr. John Torres, an NBC medical contributor, spoke with 5 pediatricians around the country. Torres says this, the 5 doctors we spoke to agreed. The benefits of being in the classroom far outweigh the risks of the disease, but the key is to reopen safely, said Torres. He suggested several easy fixes, such as social distancing, keeping desks apart, increasing classroom airflow, and putting gym classes outdoors. As for masks, one doctor said that they are only useful for high schoolers. When Torres asked the doctors if they would let their kids return, here's what they said. Dr. Yvonne Maldonado from California said, quote, I would let my kids go back to school. Dr. Shilpa Patel from New Jersey said, quote, I will. My kids are looking forward to it. Dr. William Raska from Vermont said, yes, period, absolutely. Dr. Jennifer Leiter from New York said, absolutely, as much as I can, without hesitation, yes. Dr. Buddy Creech from Tennessee, I have no concerns about sending my children to school. So CNN and any person in the country that does not fully support the total opening of America, they are just trying to use our children as proxies and as political weapons to defeat Donald Trump. It is that simple. They are blinded by their singular hatred of the president. And they probably like the fact that kids are being propagandized by Disney Plus and Hulu and all this BLM Inc. garbage that is seeping throughout our society. It is time to open America completely. Gavin Newsom closing California is anti-science and immoral. Republican governors all across the country, in Texas and even Arizona, that are closing down their states, are doing so out of fear, not out of logic, science, or a direction or a commitment to liberty or freedom. It is time to fully open America. It is time to fully open our schools. It is time for every parent to scream at the top of your lungs, get loud, and get angry at your school board. And if you're listening to this, you say, Charlie, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I can do. Well, put down your phone for a sec. And here's a little quiz. Do you know all your school board members by name? If you don't, then get to know them really well. School board members are very accessible. They live in your community. Look up your local school board members and contact every single one of them. And if you say, well, I don't have kids in school. Well, if you pay taxes, you're funding those schools. If you own property anywhere, you're funding those schools. You have a moral prerogative to prevent teen suicide, to prevent child abuse, to get kids to play spring sports again, to get their proms and their commencement and their social circles. You see, those of us that actually had our high school experiences, we are talking from a place of almost, I hate to say this, but like we've had the privilege, and I hate using that word privilege because it's so abused by the left, but we have. We've had the privilege of being able to go to high school. We've had the privilege of being able to grow up around our friends. We are robbing our children of that because of a political hatred of a president. And the left always likes to say, well, the world is laughing at us. The world is laughing at us. The world's actually laughing at us right now. They're laughing at us because we can't get our schools open, because we are so divided over whether we like a president or not. They want to destroy the country. And thousands of kids will commit suicide this fall if we do not open our schools. Thousands of kids will be abused if we do not open our schools. Millions of kids will be robbed of generationally impactful, important, and irreplaceable moments if we do not open our schools. It is the moral thing to do. This week, we have a very stacked interview lineup. We have Roger Stone, Senator Ted Cruz, China expert Jordan Chang, Officer Brandon Tatum, Chris Bedford from The Federalist, big tech reporter from The Daily Caller, Peter Hassan, and even some other guests that we're going to try to slide in here and there. So make sure you guys are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Send me your thoughts on this episode and send this episode to some friends, please. It is so important we open up our schools. It is the moral fight right now you can get involved in. Know your school board members. Open up the schools. Send this episode around. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Please consider supporting us by going to charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Become a monthly donor. We have a monthly video call coming up that we'll send you some details about. And also, if you want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us those 5-star reviews, screenshot you doing that, and email us. All of that, that screenshot, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to send another 10 books out right as you hear this episode, today, as this episode airs. So make sure you get in the running to do that. God bless you guys. Time to open up the schools. Thanks so much for listening.